When the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the master from till dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all this life is over and our work on earth is done, and the road is called up yonder, will you be there? When the road is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I think that was a wonderful song. James Black, who wrote the song, we all know the genesis of that song, how, you know, a young lady didn't show up to church. And so Sunday school. And he was a musician, involved in music, and his heart really was hurting that day when she didn't show up to church, when she didn't show up to Sunday school. And she had pneumonia. I think she ended up passing, dying. But his heart, he didn't have anything in his music collection. And so he, you know, that song was birthed out of a young person, 14, 15-year-old person not going to church that week. So you never know how valuable, because she didn't go to church that week, that day. Think about the billions of times that song has been sung for over a century at many different places in the world, because one young girl didn't show up to church. It's like his heart was heavy about people's name not being in the book or in the book of life. That's what, and so he had a great concern for that. And we should have a concern. We should have a concern for people's souls and people's lives. I think today, with today being, and I'm not going into the study of numerology. How many numerologists do we have here? But I think the Spirit of God may be saying something to us today as we talk right now. Today is September. It's the 9th month of the year. And this is the 9th day. Amen? We're in John 9 today. And those are just little things I like. Amen? We started church about 9-something, didn't we? 9 is finality. 9 is actually judgment. I mean, and judgment is not a bad word. This could be a crisis. It could be going, you know, when here comes the judge, and decisions is made. But I think the biggest thing that as far as what's happening today on 9-9 is we're embarking upon Rosh Hashanah. Today is Rosh Hashanah. It starts at sundown today, September 9th. Now, Rosh Hashanah, everybody knows, that is a myriad of things. Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year. Jewish New Year starts today. This is the last day. It's final for their year. It starts today. They begin to celebrate sundown, 6 o'clock today. They celebrate for 2 days. Rosh Hashanah has also been known to be the birthday, from Jewish paradigm, of the birthday of Adam, the beginning of the world. That's what they believe. So I think that you're getting my point right now. We're Judeo-Christian. God works decently and in order. So something is happening right now. It's the birthday of Adam, the world. And so, you know, in that light, you know, and then it starts today. And actually goes 10 days. Rosh Hashanah starts today, goes 2 days. Then you got Yom Kippur, which just means, you know, it's Hebrew, Day of Atonement. Pastor brought it out, you know, that they have 10 days of repentance and forgiveness. They start today. Thank you for the birth of the world. Thank you for creating Adam. We celebrate this as the birthday of the world. Not birthday just of creation, you know. You know, we'll let the scientists deal with that one. You know, we get in arguments in, with Q Place or whatever. When was the world created? It wasn't made in 6,000 years. There are billions of years. No, we'll let them deal with that one. But as far as Adam, man being created, this is the birthday. Amen? And so I think that in the light of what Pastor was saying, in the light of what this church is going through, we can celebrate the spirit of that because of Yom Kippur is 10 days of awe starting now. 10 days of awe of forgiveness and repentance and God, you know, Day of Atonement. It's like they don't say Happy New Year. Oh, a greeting in the Rosh Hashanah, if may my life be inscribed in the book. It's like we'll say Happy New Year, have a good year. No, may my life be inscribed in this new year. God will seal that a person, all of our lives are sealed for the year. Is it going to be a good year? Is it going to be a great year? What's going to happen to us? And so it starts off with 10 days of awe and forgiveness and repentance of sins. God, cover my sins. Any wrong thing that I've done to anybody, to any person, to any family member, to any church member, that time. Amen?
Amen.
And so I think that with it, you know, we're Judeo-Christian, and so we need to have that spirit of God. You know, something is happening that's final, but something beautiful you're creating and birthing something. It could be birthing new churches, birthing creative and witty ideas, new inventions. Amen. A new way of thinking God wants to birth, creating something new in our young people, creating something new in society. Amen. The old is gone, and God is bringing forth the new.
Amen.
So I think that I think that's a beautiful thing. Amen. But I think that God, in with that mindset, that we want to have God cover, atonement, cover everything. God, you've taken care of all my sins and all my offenses and everything, and I want to move into the new thing that you're doing. I don't want to be looking back. Amen?
Amen.
It's like that, you know, that saying about, you know, when you make mistakes, you know, we might spill a lot of milk as long as we don't lose the cow. And so... See, how do you interpret that? You make a lot of mistakes. We sin a lot. We spill a lot of milk, but we still got God. We've made a lot of mistakes in life. We've done a lot of offenses to Him. We've done a lot of stinking thinking, amen. We've said a lot of wrong things about God and one another.
Amen.
But we got God here right now, and He can atone for all our sins.
Yes.
He can wipe the slate clean, and we can go into the new thing brand new. The song, He Makes Me Feel Brand New. Okay. So that's just a little appetizer right there, okay? Just a little appetizer. You know how you go to a restaurant and you get a little appetizer, and sometimes the appetizer, I don't know what the meal is going to be like. I don't know what the word is, but I'm going to try to play by the script. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 9, and I thank God for Pastor Joseph and Pastor Scott there. What an honor to be in front of these two pillars right now. Two pillars, two men of God. Let's give these mighty men of God a hand. Hey, man, I'm just honored to know these guys and have met them at the pastor's meeting. And we, you know, years ago, and we've had relationships in different ways and through the years, you know. And Pastor Robert, we still connect and do things ministry-wise. So, boy, I just, like, their humor, their experience, their wisdom. I'm just thanking God for allowing to have a chance to be in their mighty men of God's lives. Amen. So I thank God for them. Okay, so John chapter 9, and we're going to go from just to verse 9 today. I know it's from 9 to 141, but I think the Lord is going to speak to us through these 9 verses. There we go with 9. I'm reading up to verse 9. I'm going to stay in the flow of the Spirit of God. So we're going to read from John 9, 1 through 9. It says, "And now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, am I he? And, you know, I want to title this message, God, it's good to see you, good to see anything. Or good to see you, or good to be seen. Now, I got that title actually from my outlaws. I mean, my in-laws. Sorry. Sorry about that, you know. you know, we were having a party for my daughter this past week, her birthday party. And you know, when my mother-in-law showed up, my father was there. We were at a picnic, and it was a picnic at a park. And you know, he said, "Oh, I'm good to see you." And then she said, "It's good to see anything," because if you know the context of her, she's had glaucoma, and she's suffered a lot, and she's to the point where she hasn't been able to drive. She can drive. She can't drive at night, so she's gone just through these litany of type things with driving cars. And so she's at the point where she can drive and she can see a little bit better. She's had surgeries. She can see a little bit better. So when she says, it's good to see anything, now you understand the context. Or it's good to be seen. And I think this is what the blind man is saying, to segue into the blind man, as we pick it up in verse 1. It says, now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And I like that, because if you just focus on Jesus, if you look at verse 59 of John 8, the last verse, it says, then he took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus himself, and Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So see, you have passed by in the last verse of 59, and then it starts as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Don't you appreciate that here Jesus is getting ready to be stoned? He's getting ready to, you know, they're always castigating him. They're always calling him names. The other chapter, at least I wasn't born of fornication. They're doing everything to Jesus, and yet he's still on the cutting edge of being sensitive to other people's needs. A lot of times things happen in our lives, in our marriages, in our jobs, just in daily living with our families, and we get hit by the enemy. We get hit. And the thing why he wants to hit us, so he can knock us off our game, so we can't be sensitive to why he sent us here in the first place. And that's to meet the need. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? Amen. But when I'm going through trials, I mean, when I'm going through health challenges, or I'm going through financial challenges, then Jesus is getting ready. They want to stone him. And yet he still has this ability. He's still in synchronization with the Holy Spirit. He's still being led by the Spirit to where he's sensitive to the people who are around him. How many know what I'm talking about? And I think this is something that we need to recognize, is that Jesus, and no matter what we're going through, amen, God sent us here to minister to others. How many know that that is, for me, I've learned that that is a remedy for me. When depression comes, when challenges come, just find somebody to minister to. You know, go to the hospital. I was over in San Francisco. Actually, Pastor Robert, you know, I was working doing a security shoot. How many have seen The Man in the Castle? Have you heard of that? Watch it. It's on Amazon, Amazon Prime. That's, they're filming that over by the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco on Marina Green. And we're on Marina and Scott. I'm thinking of you, buddy. Scott. And so, you know, a guy walks by. And one thing about, I get a chance to talk to a lot of people in my job. I mean, because you're a sideshow. Anytime Hollywood, anytime things are being done with that magnitude, whether you're just on the set filming with the stars or watching the equipment or whatever, watching the car, it's people want to know what's going on. And so there was a man that walked by, and it's just like I was sensitive to him, and he, you know, asked me what was going on. And, you know, I'm focused in on what I'm doing and things like that. But in the midst of that, I took time out to just acknowledge him. This is what Jesus did. Jesus, when he passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. So that ought to capture your attention, because here's somebody who was blind from birth. And this is, we encounter people like that all the time. Because this is a type of an unbeliever who is blind from birth spiritually. Our eyes have been opened. We've been born again. We've learned from John 3 that you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. God has opened up our understanding to see and be a part of spiritual realities, miracles, signs and wonders. We taste of the powers of the world to come. We love this word. We love the fellowship. The Holy Spirit has given us this hope. And we enjoy it. And we know it's real and it's tangible. It's not intangible. It's tangible. Why? Because we're the fruit of it. We're not all crazy, are we? We got some very smart, intelligent people here who know this thing is real. Like the song says, ain't nothing like the real thing. And that's true. But he said he was blind from birth. And so as I'm being sensitive to this man, and this man, he lived in Sacramento. He parked at Marina's, a beautiful place. How many of you have been over to Marina Green? And it's so beautiful over there, and the beautiful houses right on the green. And, you know, the Palace of Fine Arts is a couple of blocks away. And this man, I just acknowledged him. Something allowed me to acknowledge this man. And he was parked up. Look, you can see the Golden Gate Bridge and the water. It's a beautiful sight right on the parking lot of Marina Green. And something called me to acknowledge this man. And he was just resting. He's a driver for Uber. He lives in Sacramento. He drove all the way to here to do work in San Francisco on a Friday night. And so, but as we began to talk, this man just began to open up about his life. You know, and just asking him questions. Just talking to him. And I say, God, you caused me to miss out on an assignment with Pastor Robert Scott today to meet this guy. Robert and myself get together on Fridays, and I look forward to it. And I said, but God is so creative to where he will get you somewhere just to time and chance to meet somebody. And this guy began to go into his life about he had been married 5 times, divorced 5 times. And he had a fiance who he was with right now, and I wanted to meet her. I was gonna say warning, danger. I say, man, let me come pray for that woman. So I don't want to be an accessory to a crime, man. I'm not gonna let her marry you. And he was just telling me how he can't stay with a woman long. He gets tired of being with them after a year or two. I think his longest marriage lasted 4 years. He was a man in his late 60s, maybe 70. And he just began to just share about that and how, and then he began to go in his life that, and we start, and then I kind of segue into the Lord and start talking about Jesus and how, and he began to share with me how, you know, his grandmother wanted him to be a priest growing up because he's and then his pastor wanted him to be a deacon. And it come to find out, he's been running from the call of God. He's been running from the call of God all his life. And, let's just make a long story short, that was his time. That was his visitation. That was his time. The Lord was speaking to him by the Spirit to his life about a change need to happen to his life, to the point where he want to come to some of our meetings here. He willing to drive up here to come to a meeting, a Q Place meeting or something. Just because he feels like God is calling him. But it took, this God is creative. Just for you to meet somebody. Just for somebody who's been spiritually blind from birth. Not this, but this man maybe that I had a chance to meet. So we see in verse 2, it says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now here are his disciples. We're his disciples today, and we get in all these theological discussions. We have theological discussions, tough questions for God. But this is really deep, because they're talking about who sinned. Sometimes they believed in prenatal sin. That's a deep one. Just go read about Jacob and Esau, and it'll give you a little context of it. So you had that paradigm. They're looking from that perspective, prenatal sin. Then you had the sins of the father coming upon the third and the fourth generation. So they're having these discussions like you and I have our Bible discussions, and we question things. But Jesus, in verse 3, chimes in. See, you and I have to be like Jesus. Amen? Amen. We have to. How many want to play the role of Jesus? Jesus needs a double. They have a casting call right now. They always have casting calls for these movies. All you got to do is look in, and then, you know, if you look a certain way or a certain culture or race or height or whatever, you can come on and be an extra on these shows, get paid and have fun all day, eat, you know, all that catering. And so they do that. And so Jesus is having a casting call right now. And he needs extras, and he needs doubles, and he needs stand-ins right now to play his role. He don't need theological questions right now. No, we're talking about the end of the world right now, today in Jewish calendar. it's the end of the world right now. I mean, we're going to start a new game. It's the end of the Monopoly game. Let's start all over. You know, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. And he needs people to play his role. You would think he would go to Christians first to play that role. He might have to go to a sinner to play his role. He always gives his people the first opportunity. Jesus came to his people first. Then the Gentiles came in. I believe the Spirit of God is looking for Christians right now to play his role on the earth right now. But if he can't find no Christians to play his role, he'll find some sinner on the street. He'll find somebody. That's what John the Baptist said in Matthew 21, that so-called tax collectors and harlots were going to get into the kingdom before the so-called righteous. Jesus answers, "Neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." Now, isn't this beautiful? God is looking for somebody. And I want you to anybody who has gone through, how many have suffered a little bit in your life? Just a little bit. I mean, this man suffered. He was blind from birth. But the time, Jesus says, nobody has sinned, but the works of God are getting ready to be revealed. Okay? The works of God are getting ready to reveal. I was on a conference call this past week with a man from San Antonio, Texas. I meet every week with some people. We have prayer on a conference call. And this man, first time he had chimed in, I'm in with some other people, core group of people who every week, Thursday mornings, we have a conference call. And he began to share about his life. He's gone through depression and anxiety and mental health issues for 23 years. 23 years. And God just recently took it away from him, recently delivered him of that. After 23 years. But he was very transparent, and he said he was angry and bitter with God. Angry, bitter at God. God, you know, all my friends have prospered and they've done well in life, and I've had this handicap. Why, God? See, this is the question. Why has this man been born blind from birth? What did I do to incur all this tragedy and all this thing that's made my life? And the man said, the Lord answered him and said that he's going to use him. There's so many people going through this thing right now, the mental health issue. They use that word. I mean, it could be to extreme demon possession or oppression. To you know, the other lady on this line, she was from Brentwood, and she was saying that 3 out of 4 high schoolers at the school, I guess she has influence, that are saying they're depressed. 3 out of 4 high schools. 3 out of 4. And so the guy said, the Lord told him that I need you at this time. And this was a sufficient answer for him, that I need you at this time to reach certain people that nobody on the earth can reach right now. Nobody on the planet can reach right now. You, what you've gone through. 2 Corinthians 1 says we're going to be able to comfort others with what we've been comforted with. It says the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold. That, you know, that you're going to be able to be a conduit of blessing to people and answers and a solution to people right now that he needs. And so this is what this guy was saying, that God blessed him. So he's so excited and ready, however the Lord in a practical way is going to structure a ministry for him to where he's going to really be able to be an answer to a lot of people who are mental depression and health issues and things like that. God's going to use him. Healing ministry, all those type of things. We need that. But he did say that there was no other way. He had to go through it. Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. Let this trial pass from me. Is there any other way? I remember that movie by Gary Peck, Gentleman's Agreement. He was a journalist, and he's trying to figure out a way. He's trying to get an angle on anti-Semitism. He said, why can I do this? How can I do it? He finally came to realization, I have to play the role of a Jew. Amen? I got to play the role of a black person. I got to play the role of a white person, of an Asian person, whatever. If you're going to understand what certain people are going through, God is going to put you in their context and allow you. That's what Jesus passed his cup for me. No, God had to play by the rules. God had to divest himself as Godhead. God had to become a man, suffer, be tempted, go through all the things, and die to relate to us. It behooved him to be made like his brethren, to be one of the human beings on the planet, so he could be our faithful high priest. So I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no one can work. And so Jesus is saying, this is my opportunity. This is my window. See, Jesus had a time. He had an opportunity. He had an opportunity. How many know that in your life right now, you have an opportunity? You have a window. There's a certain time that God wants to give us. And we must work that work. I was with my son yesterday, and he every Saturday morning he plays for AAU team out in Hayward. They practice every Saturday morning. And this is for you, Devon. It's right by Devon Road. So I was thinking about Devon yesterday. I thought about you on Friday, Pastor Scott. Right by Devon Road. So God, amen. And anyway, but the coach, the AAU coach, is a Christian. And so before practice and after practice, he has a scripture. And the scripture, I think yesterday was, I'll read it right here, Proverbs 10:4, it says, lazy hands, because he's dealing with athletes. There's about 10 to 12 young men, my son included, sprawled out in his basketball court in Hayward at a gym. And he started reading Proverbs 10:4. He says, lazy hands, this is NIV version, make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. And he went through every young man, and there was one young lady there too. And said, what does that mean to you? 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 And I'm back there with the fathers, you know. We talking and, you know, jiving and stuff. And back down memory lane talking about what we did in the past. And I just knew he was going to ask me. I was getting excited. Come to me, coach. Because I had a good one. He didn't ask me. But afterward, I went up to him. And maybe starting next week, he probably, oh, the dad's going to look at me bad next week. He said, are you the one that now we got to answer the questions now? Anyway, when he said lazy hand makes for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth, the thought came to me that the only time success comes before work is in the dictionary. The only time success comes before work is in the dictionary. So you got to get out there. Like Michael Jackson said, you got me working day and night. We got to get out there and work, okay? And Jesus is saying this, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night cometh when no man can work. That night season was coming because he was getting ready to be crucified on the cross. And definition of success is being ready when your time. And I believe that a lot of you, a lot of us right now, our time has come. And when I say our time has come, that means for your next assignment. That means wherever your next assignment with. God is preparing. One of my best friends, I met him, this is 30 years ago, I met him paying a parking ticket. I was so upset about getting that parking ticket. We were in downtown Oakland, and he was upset about getting a parking ticket. But God made it happen to where we're in line together. We get to talking, and now, because of that, 30 years later, we're still friends because of a parking ticket. No, I wouldn't have planned it like that. It wouldn't have been on my script. If you want to make God laugh, write your plan out. Make sure you have an eraser. You know about the pencils and stuff. Make sure you have an eraser, because God is leading and guiding us, all of us here, into opportunities that he wants us to do. In verse 5, it says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So we don't want God to pass us by. How many say, Lord, please don't pass me by? Just like he did to the blind man. Just like I had an opportunity to talk to this man in San Francisco by Scott Street in Magrena Green. And say, so when you see people throughout the day, you never know what's going to happen. I'm picking up Doug this morning. Doug lives by, Doug says, uh-oh, what are you going to say, huh, Doug? Anyway, he lives by CVS. So before I picked up Doug in Emeryville by the CVS, I went inside, and there was a homeless guy standing over there, and I know he was going to ask me for some money. But I saw one person walk by, and I saw two other people walk by, and he didn't ask them. And I'm thinking, you know, God, you're testing me. Because as soon as I walked up, he put his hand out. He didn't even say anything to me. I mean, you know how people say, hey, bro, can I have some money? You know? No. He just put his hand out, but he let the other people pass. And I'm saying, this is right before I picked you up, duh. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? Because, see, this blind man, because this is the message I'm ministering on. This blind man, you remember back then, they alms for the poor. They would stand by the context of it. He was by the temple, couldn't go into the temple. And so he would sit there and alms for the poor, and they would give him money, and he was a beggar. He was blind, couldn't see, couldn't work, didn't have any education. It was an extreme case. Nobody had never healed a blind man before. It wasn't documented. But the scripture says, when Messiah comes, he will heal the lepers, open up blind's eyes, the lame will walk. See, this is where we come in playing the role of Jesus. The Bible says all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Those who are going to play the role of Jesus in this generation. You know, one of our beloved actors, I'm thinking of Burt Reynolds, just passed. Was it Burt Reynolds? Yeah, he just passed. And some of you young people don't know him, but how many enjoyed Burt and his movies and things like that? But as they say in Hollywood, the show must go on. And it happens because I'm around these young would-be stars who don't even know their history about Hollywood, but yet next comes in. When Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth, the disciples were really sad. What's going to happen now? Jesus is leaving us. Jesus said, it's better that I leave you. That way, you can step up now. God is wanting people to step up, whether in ministries, his church, in our lives, in our neighborhoods. Let's look at verse 6, and the time's getting... Verse 6, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. And so we see right here that Jesus, it really, I call it the reenactment, because, you know, people a lot of times are thinking, wow, saliva and clay, but if you just go back to the beginning with dirt and mud and how God in an intimate way created us and breathed in us the breath of life, Jesus is letting people know who he is, God in the flesh. And for the Jewish mind, saliva had some innate medicinal powers in it, especially for the firstborn son. They believed that. If you read back there, they believed that the father of the firstborn, just the father of the firstborn, had healing powers in saliva. So that makes the context very understandable. He's pointing, letting people know, if you don't get it here, if you don't believe I'm creator, then I'll get you with your culture. Amen. God knows how to get us. He knows what knowledge we need, amen, to get us. Because for us, saliva, that's nasty. But people in medicine and people know that, as studies have been done, that there's some healing, some innate stuff in saliva that really helps people, even with eyes and different things. And Jesus is reenacting. He has all types of ways to do things. He never did the same thing to each person. And, he's reenacting the past, and he's reenacting the future. Amen? Because when we were singing that song, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. I mean, you know, that song, they get that too from 1 Thessalonians 4:6, when that last trump. We got a trump in our last trump. And when it comes, think about it, the dead in Christ will rise. So what is God going to do? God's going to reenact creation when the rapture comes. He created us out of the dust of the ground. Are you listening to me? And that's all he's going to do. It's called it like our reenactment play. All he's going to do, he's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He can heal. He did it back in Genesis, and he's doing it now. And when the rapture happens, he's going to do it again.
He's just going to take all the dust of the ground and breathe in us, and we're going to rise. And those who remain, he'll just take up. He'll just take up. We'll just start singing, always and forever, each moment with you is just like a dream to me that somehow came true. And we'll be singing that song. But see, that's why we're not to sorrow, we're not to grieve. And this is what he's telling the blind man in his healing. And I believe this is what he wants to do with some of God wants to bring financial healing. God wants to bring healing in our bodies. God wants to bring healing in our mind. He has an anointing right now for that. He has an ability to do that. He has miracles available right now. Amen. To bring that collective healing into our life so we can move on. He doesn't want us moving on in the new thing. He wants to put new wine in new wineskins, not new wine in old wineskins. Okay, in closing, we look at verse 8. It says, therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And he said, I am he. And so I call this the man getting ready to just share his testimony. You know, I've been privileged to hang around people like Greg, Pastor Robert, and I know Andy Anderson and Scott and Gan Panther, who have all been leaders and chaplains and businessmen fellowship, and they can all concur with me that, like what Andy said, I got this from Andy, Greg, and Pastor Robert, is that you never know a person until they share their testimony. Have you heard Andy say that before? You never know a person. And this blind man is getting ready to share his testimony. Even though it's going to get him kicked out, excommunicated from the church. How many know when God does something for you, you might lose a few friends? Amen. You might be singing a song, used to be my girl. You know, used to be my guy. How many know the song? Used to be my girl. Ask me how I know, and I'll tell you so. Deep down inside, I still love her. But when God does something in your life, you may lose some friends, but you're going to gain some new friends. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Believe me, Jesus has a lot of friends on the planet. Amen. You may not know who they are right now, but he'll bring you. He'll lead you to those new friends. You might lose some of those behind, but he will lead you to some new friends. Just a testimony, and I had a conversation with a man who I see quite often, and I've invited him to church, and very smart guy, great job, went to Harvard and all this type of stuff, and him and his wife, they're in education, and he's an architect, and he just accomplished young people. And I've invited him to church and tried to get him to do different things and not really into that. And, you know, I said, well, I don't know if I've judged him or if I've like, okay, what's... Finally, I had a conversation with him recently to where he opened up and he shared about how he grew up Catholic or his mom grew up Catholic, but his mom got pregnant out of wedlock. And His mom was shunned by the Catholic Church. But see, he's opening up his heart to me. See, before I'm like, man, what's wrong with this guy? How come he don't come to church? How come he don't want to, you know, he's an atheist, agnostic. What's wrong, you know? Because I don't know. But now he's sharing his testimony. He's opening up his life and his spirit, his soul. His mom was shunned. This is what he's saying by the Catholic Church. And she didn't go back, I don't think, and she left it up to him, and I think he probably might have been that person, amen, as he was sharing later on in the conversation. And, he was, and it affected him. And maybe the church has affected a lot of people, this institutionalized, whether it be whatever denomination or whatever. But if we play the role of Jesus, see, if I give up on him, then I can be contributing to not accepting people. Jesus was a friend of sinners. But sometimes the church is not a friend of sinners. And so, you know, I feel like I have an assignment, you know, and to befriend and maybe do some, you know, there's some type of damage done and troubleshooting, whatever you want to call it, to try to win this man back to Jesus or even consider Jesus. And I think we all should be ones that are be ready who God sends our way. So, Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, it's good that we're on the precipice of new things. Lord, and we're on the precipice of letting things go because we haven't lost a cow. We still can get milk. We've spilled a lot, but we still have the cow. We still got you, and you're the one who created it all. And you're the one who has atoned for all of our sins. Let us not take that lightly as we go in, Lord God. Let us not feel like that word entitlement is being used a lot in this world right now, in this generation. But I believe Christians are the most entitled people in the earth. And that can cause pride. Because we got access to God. That could cause pride. You got access to God? You can plug in something and you got access to God who knows everything? Not Google, but God. You got access? Well, people don't have access to him. They're lost without the computer. Yeah, I mean, they're lost without God, huh? I mean, you know, and we feel that way. We feel naked. We feel like, wait, you know, I lost something. I don't have my phone. I don't have my, you know, laptop. I don't have whatever. And we can't function. Well, we're lost without God because we're not plugged in. We can't, if we're plugged into God, we can see what he's doing right now. He said, I won't hide from Abraham. I'm not going to hide from my covenant people what I'm doing on the earth. If you want to keep a secret from a friend, you deserve to lose them. And we're his friend. I know the Lord will call you servants, but I call you friends. Because I'm going to let you in on everything I'm doing, Jesus said. So, Lord, we thank you for that. I pray you bless this church. Bless, Lord, just cover this church as they move into the new thing. Whatever that looks like, Holy Spirit, whatever people you bring, whatever resources you bring, Lord, we just thank you for Great Commission Church, Lord. We want to accept the Great Commission again. The commission you gave to the disciples 2,000 years ago. Now it's our turn, Father. And we bless this church. Bless Pastor Joseph, Pastor Robert, Lord. And I bless Sister Marcia. Is that all right? Can I pray for you, Lord? I just thank you for Sister Marcia. Lord, we just lay hands on her in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And just, Lord, we just pray for your anointing to continue to abide upon her, Lord. And, Lord, let her cast every care upon you, for you care for her. God, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells and will quicken her mortal body, God. Lord, you've not given her a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind, Lord. Lord, you just come to her and bless her and raise her up for your glory, God. God, the same God that knew her before she was in her mother's womb is with her now, Lord God, to encourage her and to hold her up, even in this season right now, Father. We just believe for good news. We believe for healing. We believe for, God, just victory in her life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, God. In Jesus' name, amen.